Rupert Murdoch has issued a statement to News Corporation's 50,000 staff saying that for all of them, the report will be difficult reading. He says the company should have acted more quickly and aggressively to uncover wrongdoing, and he deeply regrets what took place. To assess some of the fallout from this report, I spoke earlier with Charlie Beckett, the director of the media think tank at the London School of Economics, and I began by asking whether he thought the committee had overstepped the mark by saying that Rupert Murdoch is not fit to run a major international company.
That is quite pushing out the borders on this one. That's turning this into quite an assault on News Corporation, and the fact that he and his Labour colleagues voted for this, but the Conservatives on the same committee did not, means this is now a very partisan issue.
News Corporation has already labelled that description as unjustified and highly partisan. Does it further damage Rupert Murdoch's reputation in the UK?
Well, absolutely, because this is the headline. This is the not fit is the headlines in the UK and across Europe and in America. Those are the two words that people are listening to first. But there is, you know, News Corporation have a point here, which is there isn't direct evidence that shows that Rupert Murdoch or James Murdoch knowingly allowed this stuff to happen. It's much more a question of the fact that they didn't do enough to govern, you know, the corporation to stop this happening. So what Tom Watson and that committee are now doing is, if you like, saying because you didn't do something, you're not fit.
The Conservative members of this committee balked at describing Rupert Murdoch as not a fit person. Is it going to be uncomfortable for the British Prime Minister David Cameron to have his MPs publicly standing behind the Murdochs in such a way?
I think it is. I don't think that Rupert Murdoch is somebody you want to be seen to be defending, although I think that the Conservative MPs on that committee, you know, had a point that they hadn't seen direct evidence that meant that they could say that Rupert Murdoch was directly complicit. But this is all part of something which is increasingly we're seeing David Cameron, in a way, he's in a sort of dance of death now with Rupert Murdoch, that as Rupert Murdoch's reputation continues to plummet over here, increasingly people are linking it to David Cameron. There was Andy Coulson, former the News of the World editor who became David Cameron's press advisor. There was the friendship with Rebecca Brooks. There were the meetings with Rupert Murdoch. Now, it's not necessary that David Cameron was particularly more friendly than other politicians like Gordon Brown or Tony Blair, but he is the Prime Minister and he does seem to have shown at least questionable judgment on his associations with people who now are implicated in this scandal.
But are there any ramifications for David Cameron beyond this being a bit politically uncomfortable for him, though?
No, I think it really plays into a sense that, I mean, this is, the phone hacking is, you know, for most people, is down the agenda in terms of unemployment, price rises, incomes going down. That's the kind of things real people worry about. But it does play into an idea that David Cameron is a bit out of touch. He's this old Etonian who likes his, you know, rich chums. And that is, I think, damaging to him in terms of his image and in terms of public perceptions.
James Murdoch was also described in this report as showing willful ignorance. Do you think that this is going to force him to sever his last ties with British media? Do you think that the wording of this report will in any way have some ramifications for the wider News Corporation business?
Well, I think it will. Now, I've always said that we've not seen the you know, the silver bullet, the email that has linked James Murdoch or indeed his father directly to the criminal activities or the other dubious activities. Not directly, but you have to ask yourself, look, you're either at fault because you knew it was happening, or I'm afraid you're at fault because you ran that company so badly that these very serious things were going on. Lots of money was being spent in your name for nefarious activities, and you're telling us you didn't know? In that case, shareholders will be asking, why didn't you know? And overall, we have to remember that the phone hacking scandal was about one newspaper within a newspaper group in Britain, which is only a very small part of News Corporation's overall business interests, and that television and their film interests are much more important than even, you know, the celebrated News of the World, which was Britain's most popular newspaper. So we have to get it in proportion. And the money people, yes, they'll be worried about the reputational risk. What will really hurt is that, for example, the proposed merger, the full merger with B Sky B, which would have been an enormous money spinner for Rupert Murdoch, is very unlikely to go ahead, and that the regulatory authorities in places like Britain now have a very good excuse to say, actually, Rupert, no.
There was also a lot of criticism of other senior company officials. The report said Les Hinton, the former executive chairman of News International, was complicit in the cover-up, that Colin Myler, the former editor of the News of the World, and Tom Crone, the paper's former head of legal, deliberately withheld crucial information and answered questions falsely. So all three of these men are now accused of misleading Parliament. What are the possible punishments for these men in Britain?
We're actually into sort of new territory here, you know, that I think Tom Watson was joking today about what exactly are you going to do? Are you going to take these people to the Tower of London? Well, of course, it's partly a reputational hit for these people, and it's a way of exposing them in a court of public opinion. There's not much that the MPs can do to people who aren't MPs. But I think it has shown, it's accentuated the way that the Rupert Murdoch empire and people like Les Hinton, who was supposed to be the trusted lieutenant, are now divided. And they're now, you know, indulging in this war of words. And the MPs are trying to push this forward. They're trying to say, well, come on, both of you, put up or shut up.
If we look at this parliamentary inquiry, there is also the Leveson Judicial Inquiry into press standards. There are police investigations. Looking at it all and summing it all up, what do you think the ramifications of this scandal have been on British society and British politics?
Well, it's been much deeper than we ever thought. This was originally a we thought a very specific scandal around two journalists who were jailed for hacking royal phones. And it has turned into an enormously wide-ranging inquiry with police, which is going to go on for years probably, and it's costing tens of millions of pounds of police money to investigate this properly. And you have the various parliamentary and then the Leveson inquiry, this judge who has had a very broad brief which goes way beyond the press. It goes into the police and it goes into the politicians. So this is the most extraordinary stone turning that we've ever had around the way that politics is conducted in Britain. It's probably more important than the whole scandal of MPs' expenses. And I think we will see a new regulatory system for the press, which is very important because you have to remember how powerful the press is in British politics. And we're also seeing a new sense of accountability around politicians. You know, what was their role in this? What did they get out of it? So I think that it's been... it's not more important than the economy. That's the real vote clincher in the end. But in terms of the way that politics is conducted, this has really been one of the most important examinations in British society and politics since the Second World War.
Charlie Beckett from the London School of Economics speaking with me earlier.